This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
It's hour two, transmitting live from the Adriatic, deep inside the fascist European Union. The Chinese foreign ministry begs the question, would the UK remain calm and show restraint if Scotland split itself from the UK? That's interesting, pointing out the double standards with Taiwan and China. But I've got a friend who did found a political party, which used to be named Restore Scotland. I think they changed it to Sovereignty, and they want to lead Scotland out of the UK, which I think is a fantastic idea. The CDC has announced that it's ending COVID-1984 social distancing recommendation. That's really nice. I mean, for the past 2+ years, I didn't even I did not follow that at all. The antisocial distancing or the socialist distancing, whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, that's nice. CDC, whatever. Who cares? No one, like, you know, there's a bunch of people who didn't even follow that. So, whatever. Do whatever you want, CDC. That's nice. New York City rents have hit a new record. So, again, there you go. Great reset. Moving on. Record high NYC rents following the pandemic era plunge into record lows. So they're continuing to hit all-time bank-busting highs. And we're seeing this in many places around the world. Real estate rents increasing. And, you know, that's helping to wipe out the fledgling middle class. And that's one of the points of the Great Reset, to create, bring us back to the medieval times, the Middle Ages, where you've got just the serfs, the plebs, that's us, and the lords, the aristocracy, the nobility. So this neo-techno-feudalism. So that's going on. And Twitter has announced its policy for the 2022 U.S. midterms. And they're announcing steps they're taking ahead of the U.S. midterms to protect civic conversation on Twitter. That's the nice way of saying basically how they're going to manipulate, interfere in the election for the plutocracy, oligarchy. So you can read all about that on Twitter's blog. And, you know, of course, they're going to say, they're activating the enforcement of their civic integrity policy, which covers the most common types of harmful, misleading information about elections and civic events, such as claims about how to participate in the civic process, like how to vote, misleading content intended to intimidate or dissuade people from participating in the election, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, a good person to check out is Dr. Robert Epstein, who I've interviewed on my Geopolitics and Empire podcast, who talks about how Google and big tech basically can, in an undetected fashion, sway the election and vote any which way they please, by millions upon millions of votes without there being any evidence left behind. He uses the word ephemeral, in an ephemeral way. And we have China's President Xi Jinping expected to visit Saudi Arabia next week. The planned gala reception is in stark contrast to the low-key audience afforded Joe Biden in June, as ties between China and the kingdom grow closer. Does this mean that, as Halford Mackinder put it, the world island is integrating, the Sino-Russian world order is coming together, the belt in the Belt and Road is, well, tightening its belt. It sure does seem like that, as we go from petrodollar to petro-yuan, and the world turns away from the U.S. and toward the East, the kings of the East coming together. And just to remind you again that there, you can find the complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio on the website, tntradio.live. We've got the latest live news, current affairs, presented by a host of incredible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction and propaganda right here on TNT Radio.
Conversations to inform and include.
It's meant for everyday people to understand.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I've got two guests for you on this second hour, Darren Grimes and Graham Dunlop, hosts and producers of the Grammarica podcast, which addresses some of the deeper and more controversial issues in our society: censorship, crimes against humanity, alternative health, suppressed science, vaccine hesitancy, medical martial law, authoritarian creep, and don't forget the fascists, they say, in parentheses, real fascists, not people you don't like on Facebook. You can go to Grammarica.ca and find all of their good stuff. Welcome to TNT Grammarica, dudes.
Thanks for having us. What a crazy time to be talking openly about all this stuff. Or maybe that's why the times are so crazy, because we're still able to do this.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm worried about soon, the radio going dead, as Shooter Jennings sang about when the radio goes dead. And I stumbled upon Grammarica not too long ago, and I immediately knew this was a high quality, awesome podcast, edgy, no holds barred, beyond the Overton window, my sort of thing. 500 plus episodes, insane. And, you know, my geopolitics and empire podcast, I'm only up to like 300, but maybe tell us, for the people listening around the world, a bit about how Grammarica came about, you know, a bit about your origin story.
Go ahead, Darren.
You want me to do the origin story? Well, met Graham, I guess like 12 years ago, maybe 11 or 12 years ago, give or take, at work. And I was, at the time, I think I was pretty into Ancient Aliens. The first season of Ancient Aliens had just come out, and I wasn't really, you know, I don't think aliens did all that stuff, but the first season was pretty good, because it really pulled apart a bunch of these crazy mysteries from around the world and put it all together. And it was really super intriguing. So I was really into that. And I was looking for something to listen to at work, because I spent a lot of time driving. So Grandma turned me on to some podcasts like Mysterious Universe. And I think it was within a year of that, we went to the Paradigm Symposium down in Minneapolis and, you know, met all those Ancient Alien guys and the Mysterious Universe guys and a bunch of other people. And I think that would have been the fall of 2012. And by June of 2013, we had started the podcast, which, you know, we just figured if we started this show, we could kind of start to talk to whoever we wanted to. And, you know, that's what we've been doing now for almost 10 years.
Yeah, really, really cool stuff. And, you know, what I've been focusing on a lot these days, as you mentioned, things are just super insane right now, 2022. And we've got this COVID-1984 tyranny going on, Great Reset. Perhaps, you know, we might have the conditions for a third world war. And the social credit system, digital ID technocracy just coming to the West now. And, you know, what are your thoughts on all of this? And what are some of the things that you're sort of most worried about where we are right now?
I'm worried about Canada going back into where they were again with the mandates. Personally, I'm worried that they're going to push the 30%, let's just say, as a round number, of people that believe everything the media and the government says against the rest of us that don't believe it. I mean, they've shown already how hateful and spiteful they can be. So that's my sort of immediate concern. I mean, beyond that, it's like full digital passports and tracking and stuff, which, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's looking pretty bad. I mean, I wish we were in a sort of a environment where a peaceful world government, kind of like they wanted in the early 1900s, you know, like they thought that that was going to be possible at some point, you know, sovereignty and freedom and a world government. Well, that's obviously not going to happen. So it's kind of scary in that respect.
Just to add what you were saying there, there are these two Canadians that fled down to Mexico. I'm in Croatia right now because I'm Croatian, but I also live in Mexico because I'm Mexican. I've been in Mexico for a while. And so many people are fleeing to Mexico. It's insane. Canadians, Americans, Europeans, New Zealanders, Australians. I've met a number of them. And this couple, they used to have a YouTube channel called Life with the Leekmans. And they just yesterday, today, I've had them on TNT. They put out their last episode. They said they're closing their YouTube and social media, and they're feeling things are getting bad. And they said that they know someone in some part of the Canadian government who said that lockdowns are coming. They're coming again this fall and winter. And that's sort of, I mean, that's just to take it for what it's worth, but yeah.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I mean, I just talked to a friend a couple hours ago who just got back from Europe, and he said it was so casual over there. Like COVID isn't even a thing. I mean, and he came back to Canada and he already got the feeling, even just from being in the airports and the planes, like the Canadian, you know, everybody wants to eat a mask, and he gets to Amsterdam and in Europe and it's hardly even a thing. So it's sort of showing that we're one of the test countries for the WEF, you know, maybe us in Australia, New Zealand, maybe see how far they can push this. We still have this app to try and cross over into America, back from America or anywhere really, this app, what's it called again? And they're just finding out how that was made. I think it was like a no bid contract to some sketchy company that has ties to the liberal government. I mean, that's where we're at right now. They can't even make a proper app, you know, for tracking us. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that maybe they're going to push us back into mandates and lockdowns.
Yeah. I'm here in Croatia. There's no masks. I came in the airport. I haven't seen one mask only the other day when I went to the supermarket. One Croatian family wearing it, but in Mexico there's still plenty of masks. And I mean, if they go in Canada, I'm pretty sure they'll do it again in Europe. And I can agree with you that it looks bleak, and that these digital passports are incoming. And I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to survive when they do come. I mean, are you guys sort of thinking about how to survive in the dystopia?
I'm not worried. I'll be fine in whatever environment I need to thrive in. So, I mean, I can just sort of go day by day, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, I might go as far as Montana, which is only a few hours away from here. But other than that, I'm not like interested in leaving either, man. I'll fight for this shit. This is where I come from. This is where my people have been for thousands of years, and I'm not interested in going anywhere.
Darren's much more prepared than me and most other people, really. He knows how to hunt and kill his own food and you know, make that food into something edible. And I mean, I'm just nowhere near that. So I'll be going over to his place when the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, I've seen some of your photos. I've seen some of your photos with the crossbow and that sort of thing. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Have you guys experienced any hardcore censorship or deplatforming? Because things seem to be getting pretty crazy there as well. No.
Well, we got kicked off YouTube with our one show with Grand America Outlawed, which does a lot of sort of the more controversial stuff. We sort of moved it over there because we were getting all our shit kicked off of YouTube and Spotify for a while too, but Spotify seemed to have calmed down. They haven't brought up anything for a long time. YouTube, you still got to be careful. I mean, YouTube just picks through our back catalog. They deleted the one channel, and I think we have two strikes on the other one. We might be down to one. Well, it's tough to say.
We even saw a little bit of shadow banning with iTunes at one point when we had Del Bigtree on before this whole thing went down. That's probably about 5 years ago now. And, you know, of course, Instagram and Twitter, like Darren gets in trouble on Twitter a little bit, and Instagram is we're sort of shadow banned. They deleted a post the other day and put it back on. So it's kind of just there bugging us, sort of probably forcing us to unconsciously self-censor a little bit, you know. That seems to be where it's at, but we're still sort of available on most platforms.
Yeah.
All right.
And the Outlawed stuff is self-hosted, so we can really go off the rails on there. I mean, we're just getting ready to go and take on some third rail topics over there because it's just getting to be too much.
Yeah, that's the best when you can really do whatever you want. And we're going to take our first break. We've been talking to Darren Grimes and Graham Dunlop, hosts and producers of the Grammerica podcast. And you can find that at grammerica.ca and all of their socials and all of that. There, we will be right back on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Mike Ryan's talking about.
The ABN is not anti-vaccination, nor are they pro-vaccination. They are pro-choice. Meryl, thanks for joining us.
Mike, thank you so much for having me on again. I appreciate that. Yeah,
Dr. Tess Laurie says there's no evidence that these jabs will be beneficial for children. What do you think about that?
Well, it's absolutely the case. It's actually the case for anyone under the age of 30 because they are at such a low level of risk from a COVID infection, if that even is a thing, that the only thing they're actually at risk from is the risk of the jab, not at all from the risk of the infection. And infants and young children are known to not be at risk. And most of them have already had COVID and recovered from it. So, you know, there is no benefit for them. There is only risk.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
In 2018, 2.9 million people died of the flu and pneumonia. In 2020, there was a 98% decline in influenza. But 2.8 million die of COVID? Data never lies. We mandate that the truth be told. TNT Radio.
And we're back with Darren Grimes and Graham Dunlop, hosts and producers of the Grammerica podcast. And if you're not subscribed, I don't know why you aren't. You can find them at grammerica.ca. And just a further thought on the Orwellianism that we're experiencing. You know, I've been taken off of Patreon and most recently from PayPal by the DHS, I believe. And we've seen in Canada, of course, people's bank accounts being frozen. And even in the U.S., some people I've read about, like Nick Fuentes, who's from Illinois. He's this he's got a good audience. Well, not YouTuber, but he does his own live streaming. He was put on a no-fly list for no reason. So he can't even fly in the U.S. Just because the government doesn't like what he's talking about. And so, you know, any further thoughts on this sort of road that we're going down?
Well, I'm hoping we'll start to see the pendulum start to swing the other way soon. On some things, it seems like it might be starting, but it's kind of too soon to tell.
I think it's strange how overt and obvious it is. Like it seems to me that they're trying to wake people up. They need more of us to something, wake up, right? To push back. They want us to revolt. It seems like, why could these lies?
They just, they, head.
Yeah.
Yeah. At like the same time, it's crazy.
Yeah, I see that as well. And the alt platforms, initially, you know, there was a lot of hope around them, and you know, some of them seem to be doing pretty well, like Rumble and Odyssey and BitChute maybe is okay. But then, you know, I've been trying to use Minds and Gab and Float. I've interviewed some of the heads of these companies. Some of them seem just to be struggling and not gaining traction. What are your thoughts on some of the alternative platforms?
That's a great point and a great question. I mean, we went back to kind of mainly audio, real genuine sort of podcasting from like we said, Outlaws from a private feed. And I do feel like the market is kind of saturated video and audio, where people have another place to go, but that might be it. I mean, there might not be a lot more people to reach, you know. We're still in this really divided situation here, where people are either watching TV and listening to the radio, or they've moved on to the internet and all these other platforms. So I don't know how much more that market can go up.
They're going to have a real decision to make soon, because I mean, more and more people are getting fucked up from these vaccines. There's no putting that genie back in the bottle. So, I mean, I think that might be the thing that, you know, if it is a revolt they're going for. I mean, between the crazy COVID stuff and the, like, now they're going to start vaccinating these kids, and now all of a sudden there's like fucking little kids whose lips are turning blue, and they're, you know, we got little kids having heart attacks. That was never happening before. And I feel like in a lot of ways, the trans stuff is coming to a head, where, you know, we're cutting kids' dicks off and giving them puberty blockers, and that's all like not okay. And I really think that way more people agree with me on that statement, that that's not okay. And we need to take a major fucking step back here. You know, whatever adults want to do is up to adults. And we could have the debate on whether or not we want to pay for that is a different debate. But what adults want to do is up to adults. But this child abuse stuff that's going on is getting out of control. And I think between that and the pushing the shots on the kids and these, you know, the people we always seem to be okay with the adults having the heart attacks. I mean, I know like 6 or 7 people personally now that have talked to me about vaccine side effects just in my day to day. Like I know a lot of people because I work in the construction industry, and I'm in a position that takes me throughout, you know, multiple job sites throughout a week. So, you know, I'm interacting with, say, I don't know, maybe I've got a base of 300 or 400 people that I'm sort of poking in with over the last year. And of those people, because I've been the guy this entire time that's been saying, don't get these fucking shots, it's a bad idea. Every fucking person, I'm telling you, it's a bad, well, my job, my this, my that, I'm telling you, it's a bad fucking idea. And so everyone knows that I'm not going to have anything to do with these shots. So now the strange thing has happened now over the last like 3, 4, 5 months, where, you know, and even more recently in the last 4 or 5 weeks, where I'm getting phone calls or text messages from people being like, you know, I fucking should have listened to you, or, hey, I got this shot and now I'm having this happen, what can I do? Or, hey, if they do a third shot, I'm not going to do that because my brother got that. So how did you get around this? Or, you know, fake papers, all that sort of stuff is coming up from strange places, from people before that were sort of all in. I mean, I was dating a girl that got the shots and had issues herself right there. And, you know, the last I heard, she wasn't planning on getting the third shot. That could be the other thing that brings it to a head in Canada, is it seems like, you know, Trudeau keeps talking and a couple of people keep talking about 3 shots are going to be required. And, you know, after a year of the shots not working, and, you know, not everyone's paying as close of attention as we are, but they're sort of noticing some stuff, like the fucking shot don't work. They're still bitching about all this COVID with the shots, with the masks, with the lockdowns, with all that shit did nothing. But they're going to make this third shot. And the thing that I think has changed now is that everybody, or at least I think 3 out of 4 people, know somebody now that had some sort of bad reaction to one of those shots, or is now having some sort of issue that maybe that had something to do with it. And the fucking one common denominator, I don't know if I can swear, if I can, I'm sorry. The one denominator is that when they go to their doctor says, nope, 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 nothing to do with the shots.
Yeah, just to comment on the previous thing about the podcast, I just wanted to mention that I do see a saturation as well. But yeah, the vax is like, I'm starting to see this too. In Mexico, my friend told me, you know, his cousin got Guillain-Barré. And even before COVID, I knew vaccines caused Guillain-Barré. And then, you know, the next week I see from the UK Telegraph, like the following week, the Telegraph says, comes out, you know, mainstream media saying, what do you know? AstraZeneca and Moderna injections cause Guillain-Barré. And I'm here in Croatia now. I'm hearing these stories as well, as just like y'all are hearing. And I'm just wondering what's it going to take for these people who are under this Stockholm syndrome to wake up? Like, do you feel we're at some breaking point? Because some of them are too proud to admit they've been duped. No,
I think it's kind of like that Matthias Desmond thing where there's 30% that, let's just say 30 again, just to keep it kind of rounded, that they just will never, they'll never wake up. They're just going to listen to the media and the government, no matter how obvious it is, then they just will not come out of it. I mean, honestly, it's like you mentioned the Guillain-Barré. I mean, we were looking at the Pfizer trial in the Pfizer documents prior. And that's why we knew what was happening, because we were looking in their own documents that showed how prevalent these adverse reactions were going to go. And that's the stuff they let into their paperwork. So, I mean, it was really obvious to us from the beginning. And I think that they're in the media in Canada, it's very strange. It's almost worse than America because it's more stealthily subtle. Like, it's very much like a thespian kind of, oh, we're asking the hard questions here, but really they're not. They're just saying, hey, it's safe and effective. Go out and get your boosters. Like, at some point that narrative has to crash. But there is this large percentage of people that are just going to go along till the very end. And then, so I guess the big question is back to what we said at the beginning, is what are they going to do? Like, how hard are they going to push these people to go against the rest of us that are never going to comply? And then they're the big middle section that kind of doesn't know what to do right now. They know something's up. They're calling and texting people like Darren, but they don't know really. That's a really big kind of hole to go down, right? I mean, that's tricky for those people.
I think the clampdown will be in Europe first, because they still got the fucking elephant in the room of a shitload of guns in the USA and Canada. I mean, there's a lot of guns. Gun ownership in Canada is like, I don't know what it was. We looked
it up. More than Europe, you think?
Well, yeah, there's like no guns in Europe. It's like, yeah. What are the gun laws in Croatia?
Well, I mean, I was just talking to someone the other week, and they're like, because we had the war 30 years ago, and there's still a lot of people with guns in their homes. They're not as liberal as other countries, but someone told me the other day, I was asking them, do you think they're going to lock down again in Croatia? And they're like, I don't think so, because a lot of people still have guns, you know, left over from the war, and some are going to snap if they try to do it again. And we have this special Balkan Croatian mentality, very like old school, very tempered. You know, people just flip. It's just the Balkan thing, short fuses, you know. And so, we'll see. And right. So I might have to go back to Mexico, as you're saying. There's a lot of the gun laws suck in Mexico. Well, it's really hard to
Mexico get sucks. Yeah, for gun laws, I mean.
Yeah, but I mean,
and
there's plenty of.
I guess isn't really. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, just there's plenty of illegal guns there. I mean, you can get a gun, just not legally, but you know.
That's true. And Croatia, I guess, is over in that Eastern Europe. You guys kind of don't fuck around over there. It's sort of a different mentality. I think like when you get into France and Italy and the UK and Finland and all sort of that, that's where I think the guns start to get pretty scarce. I think in Canada, it's something like 26%. 26% of households, they figure, have a gun of some sort in them.
That's still a pretty decent number. Yeah, that's why I consider Croatia like the Mexico of the United States of Europe. So it's still not a bad place to be. We're going to have to take a quick news break. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Taiwan has rejected the one country, two systems model proposed by China, saying only the people of Taiwan can decide the island's future. An Iranian national has been charged with trying to hire a hitman to assassinate Donald Trump's foreign national security advisor. North Korea has declared victory over COVID-19 after going 2 weeks without recording a single fever case.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. I wanted to switch gears a bit because it's not often I get to go beyond, not too often I get to go beyond the Overton window, but you know, on Grammarica, you often treat topics related to the paranormal, occult, esoteric, psychedelic, and that sort of thing. And maybe if we can go to some of those places and, you know, for both of you, you know, what are some of the more interesting parts there that you've found most fascinating?
Darren, do you want to start?
I miss that.
Okay, I'll start. It's for me, I mean, the original show kind of started with ancient mysteries and UFOs. I mean, I had a pretty prominent UFO sighting in 1990, and that kind of shifted my whole reality. So, you know, I did fall out of all that sort of research in the early 2000s and stuff. But so we started talking a lot about the UFOs, which led, of course, into the paranormal and just the war on consciousness in general, spirituality, of course, it all kind of overlaps. But starting to kind of dial into, I guess, kind of like the reality of magic, maybe the occult stuff, which I don't like that term. It's kind of negative. We've also been reading a lot of audiobooks, which kind of take us back to the 1800s, like the arcane schools and mythology and theosophy and stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at right now with that kind of stuff. UFOs, I'm kind of really just fed up with now that it's kind of gone more mainstream, and now I don't believe what the government says about it either. So, you know, I always wanted kind of a people's disclosure, not a government disclosure. And now it's very strange to see, you know, my old friends going, "Hey, I believe in UFOs now," because it was in the New York Times or whatever, you know.
Oh, just on the UFOs for a second, I was going to ask you as well. Early on, I studied that for a period of time, like in the 2000s, about a bunch of books. And I just kind of ended up with Jacques Vallée, the French scientist. I think he's still alive. And he also helped create, it was involved in the creation of the internet. And J. Allen Hynek, who I think in the 50s worked for I think it was called Project Blue Beam. But both of them.
Blue Book, yeah.
Oh, Blue Book, sorry, yeah. Yeah. And both of them came to the conclusion that the UFO phenomenon was not extraterrestrial, but it was extra dimensional. And so, you know, any further thoughts on, you know, on UFOs or you know, their conclusions?
Well, we had Vallée on. I mean, honestly, it's been a blast. It's been a blast going over, like, talking to most of the prominent UFO researchers, you know, about probably 4 to 8 years ago for the most part. But I don't know. I go out and do these CE5s with people. I don't do it as much anymore because my mind has kind of changed a little bit about trying to make contact with anything. But we go out with, you know, loving intention, and we try to make contact with ETs, and something communicates with us. So, I mean, is that an interdimensional thing, or is our, like, you know, Occam's razor would say, well, we're asking to see ETs. We're looking for ETs. Some people have had pretty extreme experiences. I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff flying around in the sky that's sort of answering in some ways to our questions. So is that ETs or is that interdimensional? I mean, I still don't know after playing around with this phenomena for many years. Darren's kind of like, I'll let him speak for himself, but he's not nearly like as into it or believing as I am on a lot of these things.
Well, I don't know that I'm not. I mean, I just don't care. It's not that I don't believe it. I just don't care. I just don't care. I mean, I think it's cool that people care, and I'm happy to go out for the excuse just to check out the stars. And I mean, when I've gone out, I see the puffs and the pops and the flying stars and stuff too. I don't think it's aliens, and I don't think it's talking to me. Now, maybe they're having a different experience. They don't let me go on their outings because I don't believe hard enough. So it seems kind of culty, but I just don't care. I really, you know, I'm happy to go out just for the going out. Oh, you know what it is? They won't let me smoke weed. So I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you guys and your rules. I'm not this like mandate. They have mandates.
It's more like protocols, not mandate.
Sounds like a mandate to me, bud.
And to get back to the, what you mentioned, the magic arcane and theosophy, it's been a while. I went down that rabbit hole for a while. I looked at a bit of Aleister Crowley. And back in 2008, 2009, I studied in Geneva, Switzerland at the Geneva School of Diplomacy. And I'd be at the UN Geneva building often, and we went. I actually attended a meeting of Lutz's Trust, which was founded. Yeah, they've got their offices, three offices in New York, London, and Geneva. And they were originally called Lucifer Publishing and influenced by Blavatsky and founded by Alice Bailey. And I went to one of their meetings, just for fun. And so, yeah, say again.
I swear we were just talking about this yesterday.
We were. We just did an episode. It's coming out. We did a pretty extensive episode on Grimerica Outlawed that I believe is coming out this week. And it was really a whole rabbit hole about that. We had Ryan Dean on from Dangerous World Podcast, and we were sort of just arguing and discussing and debating about exactly what you're talking about. Like, what did it get sort of influenced in the UN, because what, or was theosophy kind of like co-opted in a way? And so I'm really interested to hear what you had to say about that.
I don't have too much more to say. I mean, I just went to their meeting. It wasn't like anything, you know. It was older people, and they have a pamphlet I still have, and you know, they talk about how they believe, sort of, they talked about Prometheus bringing fire to man, and they talk about how, you know, for them, like, Lucifer is basically Prometheus, and they view Lucifer as the Christ or the Messiah, and they're making preparations for his return in their literature. I subscribe to their newsletter. They say he's already here. He's the Maitreya. He's the Mahdi to the Muslims. He's the Christ to the Christians, so on and so forth. And, you know, in the building, I would attend conferences in the building where they have their office, and you just see all these little subtle things, like, the microphones, you know, there were like 100 microphones in the conference hall. They were in the shape of a pyramid, and the capstone would light red when you speak into the pyramid. I got photos of that. And then you go to the UN, you go to the UN's Geneva. It was the original League of Nations building in Geneva. And they've got like the Serpentine Lounge. The cafe is called, it's like in the shape of a serpent. It's called the Serpentine Lounge. And, you know, you see all of these kind of signs, which, I mean, there's something there, but, you know, and you know, it's a member, it's an official member NGO of the United Nations, of I think ECOSOC, and so, yeah, there are all these interesting things. I don't know what kind of conclusions you got out of the podcast that you guys did.
Well, yeah, I mean, he thinks that that's like they're pushing this one world religion, which to me, I love to hear this firsthand evidence that you're talking about, because it kind of would fit in with what he's saying. But it also doesn't mean it's black magic or it's bad. Like, I still look at it as good. The problem is I just don't trust these organizations like the UN and the WEF. So if they're pushing something, it makes me question it right away. But I feel like they're not really saying anything evil or dark. It's just their interpretation of what Lucifer is, which will bug the Christians a little bit. But they're pretty, and maybe it's because they couch it in those terms, those syncretic terms to ally with all the religions, you know. And I don't really have a problem with the New Age, like a lot of conspiracy theorists seem to be having a problem with it. They think it's kind of more of a black magic or negative magic. I don't really see the direct connections of it being propagated for evil purposes necessarily. Like, I think you can't just paint all this stuff because it's not Christianity or whatever as evil or black magic. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, I would just add, I subscribe to their newsletter, and I just saw something interesting from Lucifer's Trust. They have these, they talk about things like, you know, great invocation and things, but just what you were talking about, you're not thinking that they're bad or something, but then you just kind of notice that they're very supportive of the UN and the World Economic Forum. And in one of their latest newsletters, they were actually saying, you know, we should have this great invocation. You know, Lucas Trust was saying, we should have this meditation, and I can't remember the words, like sending good vibes or
meditating. The seventh ray and all this stuff and
something and like that. But
yeah,
they were just saying to do that for the UN and the Davos meeting, and basically like saying hoping that they would have success in what they're doing. But then if we look at, you know, the Great Reset, it's like they're trying to enslave
exactly. Mankind. Yeah. So I just think they're trying to just bring the world into a peaceful world order. I think that's the problem with the Lucis Trust thing, is she said New World Order in the video. I'm like, oh my God. So she said that, but then she calls it white magic and she's preparing for Christ to return. So it's a tough one. Like there is a bunch of people that are just intending for a peaceful world government, but I just don't trust anything coming out of the UN and the WEF. So it's an interesting sort of thought experiment in a way. Darren, do you have anything on that?
Well, I don't really know as much about all that theosophy stuff as you do. I mean, I don't think it's as much of a problem as the scientism bullshit. They're trying to tell me what the fuck science is saying. And that's my biggest concern with the world right now. And the fact that most of these, well, not most of them, I don't think it's most of them, but at least a good majority of these fucking people seem content to just go along with them. And, you know, they might march us right off a cliff. They might not, but they might.
Yeah.
They might have already.
Yeah, the lemmings, basically, like lemmings. Just
I'll still be on the cliff with just a lot more real estate. So,
yeah, we're going to take our second break. Again, the website is grammerica.ca. You can find the Grammerica podcast on many platforms and do subscribe. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
In a shocking abuse of its substantial police power, FBI agents last night raided Mar-a-Lago, the Palm Beach estate and primary residence of President Donald J. Trump, looking for 15 boxes of documents that the president had brought with him from the White House in January 2021. These documents are not anything new. They've been the subject of negotiations between the Trump team and the DOJ for a year and a half now. So why was the warrant executed yesterday? Indeed, why was the warrant executed at all? It turns out that Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray were briefed before the raid was conducted. This has Americans of all political stripes outraged. If they can do it to a former president, they can do it to us. Maybe that's what the 87,000 new IRS agents are for. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Hey Australia, there's never been a better time to check up on your health. We have a world-class healthcare system that's easy to access, even when you can't be there in person. Telehealth enables you to catch up with your GP or health professional, and the Australian government has now made it permanently available through Medicare. Show your health some love, face-to-face, by phone, or video call. Care for your health. Find out more at australia.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative, this is Viewpoint.
Klaus Schwab has boasted of penetrating government cabinets around the world. He claimed in one interview that more than half of Justin Trudeau's Canadian cabinet are young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. If freedom prevails, the peoples of all nations will reject Klaus Schwab's fourth industrial revolution of surveillance and control and biotechnologies designed to change what it means to be human. We don't have to walk muzzled and compliant straight into a transhumanist hell. As Klaus Schwab himself admits, the new technologies of the fourth industrial revolution could intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And we're back on our final stretch with Darren Grimes and Graham Dunlop, hosts and producers of the Grammarica podcast. You can find that grammarica.ca and on all platforms. And I was listening to your interview you both gave on Ricky Verandas's Ripple Effect. I've been on there and he's been on TNT as well. And you mentioned Terry Wolf, which I thought was pretty funny because he's on my TNT program once a week. He's a regular here. So that was, yeah, it's a small world. I wanted to get your thoughts on maybe the state of things in North America. You know, the U.S., Trump's getting raided. There's talk of a second civil war. Myself as an American, I'm kind of concerned of some kind of collapse or balkanization in America. Have you guys been thinking about that at all?
Well, in some ways, I'm all for the shit falling apart in that regard. Like, I really think our push towards centralization of power is one of our biggest mistakes. Now we've just got centralization of media, centralization of this, which is ultimately given a centralization of thought. And, you know, that we need to somehow start taking that fucking thing out of the bottle. I don't know how, or putting it back in the bottle, I guess. But part of it would be, in my opinion, to get rid of the federal governments and, or at least take away a lot, like 95% of their authority, so-called authority.
There's a movement here in Alberta to take back Alberta. I don't know how legit it is. I've been debating whether I should go to some meetings and see what's really going on here, because it does seem legit, but I just don't trust any politicians right now at all, no matter what side they're on. I mean, in Canada, it was really, really disappointing that there was nobody fighting for us from a political standpoint and our freedoms during the lockdowns. I mean, so I think that the Trump thing was a setup by Trump. It was to kick off his campaign for 2024. I mean, I just heard the No Agenda guys talking about that before the show tonight. And it's making a lot of sense when they deconstruct it. Like, he set it up and they're trying to not to call it a raid now. Like, the reaction of the media is very strange now. They don't know what to do with it. Even Pelosi doesn't know what to say about it. She heard from her phone. Her phone told her about the raid. Like, it's very strange. So I don't know. I all these sort of current things that we're supposed to follow. And I hold off any kind of strong opinion about almost anything until shit settles down a little bit. But I agree with Darren. I think that things got to go back to smaller sovereign sort of states, or maybe not state even, but smaller things, right? Like, everything's just too big. You can't really. We're stuck in this part of the country with a completely different political view, but it'll never change. Like, the politics will never change in Canada the way it's set up right now. So I kind of think that the U.S. has really shown. Not at the beginning of COVID, because Canada was freer at the very beginning. But then it shifted quite quickly to, like, showing really how Texas and Florida and Montana and Dakota are different, you know, different than the rest. They are freer for now. You know, whether they're going to catch everybody in there and then clamp down, who knows how they're going to do that. But I mean, it would be nice if they just opened up their border. Like, they, you know, the states can talk big about being free, but, you know, 6 million Canadians still aren't allowed to go to the border. So, I mean, they can start by showing an example, like by following an example there and open it up to the unjabbed. Same with Canada. I mean, it's ridiculous that we're still that just shows you how false the narrative is. They're still clamping down on that.
Yeah, I could get behind what you said about that, the theory Trump kicking off his campaign. And I've talked with Terry about that. He also, I think, thinks along those lines. There's a fascinating Twitter account called Donnie Darkened that also goes down that path. And I kind of do see a possibility that Trump comes back, but I'm also worried that things can also get really weird with Trump being back in power. And even with Trump being back in power, things getting very authoritarian. And Canada as well, you know, your thoughts on Trudeau. We've seen the reports that Davos has penetrated more than 50% of Canada. And you know, what do you feel like Canada's future is?
Well, we're probably in trouble. But the one, we've got an election here in Alberta tomorrow or the next day, I think. Not really an election, but our douchebag premier, I think he's a premier, Jason Kenney, quit. Yeah. He quit. So they're electing a new leader this week. And two of those guys, or I think it was a guy and a gal, ran on extreme, like, no lockdown policies. That was kind of their whole campaign. No more lockdowns, no more COVID measures. And though I don't really pay attention, but the last I heard, I think that those two were both winning. So, you know, there's some slight hope, and I don't put a lot of hope in the political system, but there's some slight hope that we might get, like, hopefully a proper Alberta fucking conservative leader. Not that I really give a fuck to have a leader, but I'm just someone that's
conservative,
of a DeSantis or an Abbott and say, no, we're not doing that here. No, we're not doing that here. Whether or not he'll actually have the guts to stand up to the federal government when that actually happens, I guess we'll see. But the provinces do have a lot of power here to do that sort of thing. I guess the one thing I don't mind about Canada is I still maintain that we can take the state if they get us riled up enough. There's just not enough people to protect it against the people. Like, whereas some of these other countries have bigger military forces and all like that, Canada, we don't have fuck all. I mean, we really don't. We rely on the US for everything. So, you know, we're talking about, like, I don't know, I ran the numbers before, but it's like
50,000.
Well, I mean, I think they say the total armed forces number is like 71,000, but if you fucking start breaking that down into actual active duty, you're down to like 23 or 24,000 pretty quick. And that's like assuming all those people are going to be okay turning on Canadians. And then you got like, I think 18,000 cops. So, you know, it'll be interesting. There's, you know, 20 million firearms in the country. It could be interesting. Whereas we haven't really seen the militarization of our police force like the US has. The US seems to really, really be able to put the fucking thumb down, in an actual violent sense. Whereas in Canada, we haven't seen that happen. We've seen it happen where the cops have arrested some people unceremoniously and stuff like that. But I think that there's got to be a little bit more, even though fucking that douchebag Trudeau doesn't show it. I think they're a little more uneasy of the population here, because if we get real riled up, they're very quickly going to need the help of someone else.
Like, yeah, and even in Ottawa, they had to bring in the outsiders to clamp down.
Well, that's what I mean with the army. I mean, but yeah. What if you didn't even, what about when it's in seven cities in Canada? What about when it's Ottawa, Montreal, Winnipeg, yeah. Calgary, yeah. Edmonton, and you have no army left? So now what are you calling in the UN, or you're calling in the states to help out? It starts to get pretty weird pretty quick. So I think, I like to think, and it might be my own naivety, but that always sort of has to be in the back of their head that they really don't have a hammer to bring down on us.
And like Darren said, you made a really good point a few months ago, Darren, when you talked about when Jason Kenney, our premier, He was stuck because he was pushing back against the WEF a little bit. There was a couple of videos going around of him calling out the WEF, yet he was stuck in a position where he couldn't really do much in Alberta because half the population was brainwashed and they wanted the lockdown. They wanted the mask mandates. So, you know, they couldn't win for losing the politicians. Even if they wanted freedom, they couldn't do it because it's going to scare the shit out of too many people. So it'll be interesting now that more people have woken up from the convoy and from the massive failure of the mandates and the public health system. We'll see what happens now that more people will speak up.
All right, we got about 45 seconds left. Where are the best places to find you online and best ways to find the podcast and to support it?
Grimerica.ca will get you to everything. We don't just do the podcast. So we have the Grimerica Show, which has 570 apps. We have Grimerica Outlawed, which has about 100 and some apps. If people want to check that out, that's at GrimericaOutlawed.ca. We've put about 75 audiobooks in production, a lot of them of theosophical and esoteric and occult nature. You can get all those over at addlebrain.ca. And we do a bunch of events with cool people like Randall Carlson and stuff like that. And that's all over at contact@thecabin.com. But if you can only remember one, grimerica.ca will get you to everything.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you. Stay tuned here on TNT Radio.